In this week's parsha, Parshat Tazria Matzora, we learn about the terrible punishment of Tzorat, the disease of Tzorat that would strike people, Chazal tell us, if they were speaking Lashon Hara. Tzorat is translated as being leprosy, but that's not the leprosy that we know today. It was a special type of disease, a special type of punishment that people would get if they were speaking Lashon Hara. We know that there's Hashgacha Pratit for each person, each Jew. Hashem is looking after him and looking over him. In the times of the Chumash, we see that someone who did an Aveira would be immediately warned. He'd be immediately told, you better start fixing things up by getting this disease of Tzorat, of leprosy. In our times, things are a bit different. But nevertheless, when we get ill too, when anything happens to us in this world, it's really a time for us to start thinking, why should this have happened to us? And maybe there's things that we should be fixing up and things that we should be changing in the way we're behaving. There's definitely a reason in every case where someone gets ill, for whatever reason it is, for whatever type of illness it is. And it's certainly a time that we should be thinking about why this has happened to us and what we can fix up. But nevertheless, in our times where medicine is so well advanced, the first thing we're going to do when we get ill is go to the doctor. When really, what we should be doing is praying and asking for mercy from Hashem to forgive us for our sins and to heal us, because He, we all know, is the one that heals us. So we should really just be praying. Why are we going to the doctor? The Taz asks this question, as we'll see in Yeridea. It's in Siman Shin Lamed Vav, that's 336. There we have a whole siman, a whole chapter in the Shulchan Aruch on the halachas of a doctor. The Shulchan Aruch says over there that Hashem gave permission to doctors to heal. And he adds on, it's a mitzvah. Once you've learned to be a doctor, it's a mitzvah to save someone else's life. And now, once you know how to heal people, if you don't heal someone, if you see someone ill and you don't help them and you don't use the knowledge that you've learned to save them, then it's as if you've spilt their blood. Asks the Taz a question. There seems to be a contradiction here. On the one hand, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that Hashem gave permission to the doctor to heal. And on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that it's a mitzvah and it's an obligation. A mitzvah is an obligation. It's an obligation on someone who knows how to heal to use their knowledge to heal them. So what is it? Is it permission or is it an obligation? The answer that the Taz gives is very, very important. He says that healing is really asking mercy from Hashem. That's the healing. That's the way that someone is going to be healed from their illnesses. But we don't deserve that intervention. We're not on that level in our generation. And therefore, we must work with nature. Hashem gives us reshut. Hashem gives us permission to use nature, the natural ways, operations, medicines, in order to heal ourselves. And he gave us the knowledge that we can know and we can learn about how to heal ourselves using natural things meaning medicines, operations, things like that. Once we've been given that knowledge, once Hashem has revealed to us that knowledge that we can know how to heal, now it's an obligation on anyone who knows how to heal to save other people's lives. The Shulchan Aruch carries on that the only person who's allowed to get involved in healing other people is someone who is properly qualified. You're not allowed to start operating on people if you're not properly qualified, if you haven't learned. In the times of Chazal, in the times of our sages, we're told that they needed to get, the doctor would have to get special permission from Beit Din in order to be able to heal people, in order to be able to operate on people and to give them medicines. In our times, of course, there's no such permission that you receive from Beit Din, no such formal permission that a doctor needs to get from the Beit Din, but he needs to get certification from the government, from the ministry, from the authorities, wherever he is. If he doesn't have that authority, then he's not allowed to be involved in medicine. He's not allowed to practice medicine, not only according to the laws of the land, but also according to the Torah law. You cannot operate on people. You cannot try and heal people if you're not properly qualified. Only someone who's qualified is allowed to operate, for example, on someone else's body. Someone who gets involved in healing people, operating on people, and does not have the proper qualification, that person has to pay for any damages that he caused. But if you have permission, if you've been properly certified and you cause damage by a mistake, if you cause damage on purpose, of course you would have to pay for the damage. But if you cause damage by mistake, then the doctor, if he has proper permission in order to be practicing medicine, is exempt from paying for any damages that he causes. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, even though he's exempt for direct damage, he has an obligation towards heaven to pay for the damage that he caused. What type of damage are we talking about? Normally, in the laws of damages, we have a rule. Adam muad leolam. A human being is not like an animal. A human being is responsible for all his actions. A human being who does anything, even if he doesn't do it intentionally, he has no intention to cause damage to someone else. If anyone else is damaged by him, that person has to pay for the damage, because he has to be more careful. We're not like animals that if they damage unintentionally, if the owner didn't know to look after them, there are cases where the owner would be exempt from paying for such damages. In the case of a human that damages, a human is responsible for all his actions. But in the laws of damages, we have a thing called groma. We have a thing which is called unintentional, indirect damage. Indirect damage, the general rule is, there are exceptions to this rule and to every rule, that the general rule is that if you damage someone indirectly, you don't do a direct action, then you're potter b'yedei Adam v'chayev b'dinei Shamayim. That means that Beit Din cannot obligate you to pay, but you have an obligation towards heaven. That's for indirect damages, but for direct damages there's no such thing. If you cause direct damage, even totally unintentionally, you pay for that damage. With the doctor, we're told differently, that even if he causes direct damage, even when he's operating on someone and he's cutting them open and he makes a mistake and he causes them serious damage, he's exempt from paying for that damage. He has an obligation only towards heaven, even though he did that action directly. Even though he did it with his hands by cutting the person open, he made a mistake and the person is damaged. Nevertheless, he's not like anyone else and he's exempt from paying for that damage. He has an obligation towards heaven, but he's exempt from paying in Beit Din. Beit Din don't have the authority to make him pay for that damage. That's if the doctor does direct damage. If the doctor does indirect damage, what would that be? For example, that would be giving a wrong medicine to someone, and the person were to take the medicine and become ill and be damaged from that medicine. That is indirect damage. In a normal case of a normal person, not a doctor, if he did damage like that, he would be potter b'yedei Adam, Beit Din wouldn't be able to make him pay unless it was intentional, unless he knew that this was going to happen. But he would have an obligation towards heaven to pay for the damages that he caused. In the case of the doctor, which even for direct damage he can't be made to pay, he only has an obligation towards heaven. In the case of the doctor, he would be exempt from paying for his damages, even towards heaven. In the case of grama, in the case of indirect damage, as I said, the example of indirect damage would be giving the wrong medicine to someone that caused them to become ill. We learned this from the Gemara in Baba Kama. It says that one of the things that is considered as indirect damage is putting poison in front of an animal and then the animal ate it by himself. In the case of a doctor that prescribes the wrong medicine, that's exactly the same thing. He's put in front of you poison, but you ate the poison. So that's considered as indirect. Again, of course, we're only talking about where this was done unintentionally. If there was intent, then certainly the doctor is going to have to pay for the damages, and Beit Din will make him pay for them. So this raises an interesting question, especially in our times, where there are a lot of claims in courts against doctors. And every doctor has to take out an insurance policy. And he's insured up to his teeth for any damage that might be caused by his work. So the question is, if the doctor damaged you with either direct or indirect damage, but let's talk about direct damage, where Beit Din apparently we see don't have the authority to make him pay. But what if he's got an insurance policy? You have a Jewish doctor who damaged a Jewish patient while he was cutting him open, doing an operation, he made a mistake, and the person was damaged. So according to Jewish law, you don't have a claim on the doctor because the doctor was just trying to help. He was trying to heal you. We have a special exemption that the Torah gave for doctors if they cause damage, because if we didn't give that exemption to doctors, no one would be prepared to be involved in medicine. Okay? That's probably the reason behind it. So would you be allowed to make a claim against his insurance? Seeing as according to the Torah, there's no obligation. So how can you now make a claim against his insurance policy? The answer is that you can, without any problem. Why? Because the insurance policy, the insurance company, because of the premiums that he's paying to them, the very fat premiums probably, they have accepted on themselves that in any case where there is damage according to the secular law, then they will pay. That is their obligation. They didn't obligate us if there's any case where you, the doctor, will have to pay, and therefore only if there was an obligation in a Jewish Beit Din, where the two parties are both religious Jews. The obligation that the insurance company took upon themselves was to pay in any case of damages. So certainly, there's no problem, there's no ethical problem, there's no halachic problem in a religious Jew making a claim against a religious Jewish doctor's insurance policy, even though the case is a case where, in Beit Din, the doctor would be exempted from paying for any damages. The halacha is that a doctor is not allowed to charge for his knowledge. For giving over his knowledge, for using his knowledge to heal someone, we find that he's not allowed to make a charge. He's allowed to make a charge for his trouble and for his time. The fact that if he wasn't coming and healing you, he'd be doing something else. But he's not allowed to charge for his knowledge because the knowledge is not really his. The knowledge was given to him by the Almighty. Another halacha that the Shulchan Aruch tells us here in this very important siman chapter in the Shulchan Aruch about doctors is that a doctor is not allowed to charge you an extortionate price for medicines. He has to charge a reasonable market price for any medicines that he's trying to sell you. But what if he extorts you? What if they say to you, listen, you're very ill, you're going to die. if you don't get this medicine, so I'm going to give you the medicine only for $1 million. And you agree. What are you going to do? You don't want to die. This guy's a, you agree. Does that now mean that because you agreed, you have to honor your word and actually pay him the $1 million? No, it doesn't. Because this is a case of extortion. In a case of extortion, the halacha is that you're allowed to agree to the extortionate price, but afterwards you don't have to pay, and you're not considered as having acted immorally or unfaithfully by not keeping your word, because this guy is trying to sell you is even worse, has done even worse. He is extorting you. He's benefiting from your trouble, from your bad situation. Okay, so in a normal case where you agreed to pay a high price for medicines, you wouldn't have to pay that price, even though you'd agreed. Once you've paid it, you wouldn't be able to get the money back. I'll prove you in a little while. But that's the halacha, right? If you haven't yet paid, you can't be made to pay. But if you have paid, you can't get the money back. In the case of a doctor, though, let's say you agree to pay a doctor a very high price. He says, you want me to save your life? I want $1 million. Give me $1 million and I'll save your life. I can save your life. So we said before, the doctor's not allowed to do that. But in the case of a doctor, if you agreed, even though you're paying him now, let's, for example, for his knowledge, which we said before, you're not allowed to pay, he's not allowed to charge for, you must pay. You're obligated to pay what you agreed to pay. If you agreed to pay him $1 million for this operation, and he did the operation, even though he was extorting you, it seems like an extortionate price, nevertheless, you'd have to pay. The source for extortion is from the Gemara that tells us that there was a prisoner that managed to escape from prison. He was running away and he got to a river. The only way he can cross the river is with a boatman. There's a boatman there who normally charges 10 zuz to take people across the river, $10 to take people across the river. He sees this guy coming and running and panting and coming along in his orange prisoner clothes. And he says, oh, I've got a chance here. He says, you want me to take you across the river? I want $1,000. Normally charges $10. He saw this guy running away from prison. You want me to get you across the river? I want $1,000 in cash. So what is this guy going to do? He's going to agree. He's got no choice. So he agreed to pay him $1,000, says the Gemara. When the guy has taken him to the other side of the river, he's allowed to get up and go and just pay him the $10, which is the normal price. But the extortionate price that this guy was trying to get from him, he doesn't have to pay because he was being extorted. But if he's already paid it, he can't get it back. That's like the case of the medicines. We said where the doctor extorts you for the price of medicines, you're allowed to agree, but just don't pay him. But if you actually paid him already, you can't get the money back. But in the case of the doctor, we find that it's different. If the doctor is charging you for his knowledge, which he's not allowed to do, but he wants $1 million for his knowledge, and you agree, now, after he's done the operation, you have to pay him. Why? Why should this be different? It's extortion, and this is extortion. Extortion is extortion. What difference does it make whether... what difference does it make whether we're talking about medicines or we're talking about the knowledge of the doctor? The answer is like this. In the case of the knowledge of the doctor, the knowledge of the doctor is something that doesn't have a price. Well, we were told you're not allowed to charge for it, but if you were charging for it, if a non-Jewish doctor was charging for his knowledge, it's something that does not have a price. But taking you across the river and the medicines, they do have a price. They have a normal price, and this guy was extorting you by taking a ridiculous price. So that's extortion. In that case, you're allowed to agree and not to pay him. But in the case of the doctor, seeing as his knowledge does not have any price, there's no price for that thing, and it's something that people do pay a lot of money for. So if you agreed, now there's been an agreement, and you, the patient, have to honor your word, and you have to pay him, because there was an agreement to pay a certain sum for a particular service, and the doctor did his part by carrying out the service and doing the operation. And therefore, an obligation is created which can be forced in Beit Din, even though the price is, in inverted commas, extortionate, seeing as there is no fixed price for such a thing. So he's allowed, the obligation is created and the patient has to pay. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you'll have a good week, and may none of us ever need any doctors. And all the doctors will find another way of earning their living, and we'll all be healthy, and Mashiach will come soon. Thank you, all the best. Bye-bye.